crashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
What the
Liz,
hell?
What did you pick?
What the hell did you two do for your intro
you
record?
Don't you talk to me about it. I'm shouting and pointing right over there. At least, sorry, I'm not at the mic. I'm not getting liquor.
Oh, yeah, you are. So it's... it's Christmas in July.
I guess so.
What do we got here, you two?
You need to explain this. Who is this? It's Ray...
Ray Perry?
Ray Price? Ray Price's...
Christmas
album.
It's Christmas in July. It is 107 degrees. That's I'm feeling right. colder, actually, yeah. hearing those sleigh bells.
I'm comfortable. We should have stockings in here.
It feels like it's snowing.
I'm wearing stockings, yes. actually. Yeah.
107 degrees is the high here in Phoenix, and we're listening to Ray Price to cool us off. Here
as 107 is a new high, we've reached a new low, yeah. I believe. Is what
indeed
it is.
We have.
Released in 1969 on Columbia Records, produced by Don Law. This is a classic Christmas album. The song, of course, Jingle Bells. Classic tune. Now, who wrote it? Nobody knows who wrote it.
No, I don't know.
Cam Mullen, Steve Malden, James Lord Pierpont, and Laverna Moore.
Why did it take so many people to write this simple tune?
Really? Jingle Bells. Yeah. That's really hard.
It was originally named Jingle Bell, and then he passed it around a team of writers, and they went, we should probably add an S. And Jingle Bells it is.
Okay, well.
Fantastic. That was actually quite festive. In a weird way, I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, I feel cooled off. All right, let's get cracking for the real thing.
Crack, for God's sake, will we?
Release the Kraken.
Hey, man, this is Richie Ramone talking to you live from the Shabby Road Record Show. Peace.
Well, hey, Labba!
Hey, Labba!
The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your hipster-free vinyl podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McKay, and now, if it's too loud, you're sharing earbuds on a splitter with A.D. Adams!
That's right! Well, hello to the hookers, hello to the bums, hello to the tweakers in the Sunny Slope slums, and hello to you, the awesome Shabby Academy, for tuning in, for spreading the word, and just for being our pals, goddammit. So crack a cold one with us, if you will, on this rare daylight taping of the Shabby Road Record Show. So who's day drinking with us?
All right.
Records.
You know, I think I shall partake in some
all
day
right,
drinking here at the
Shabby.
That's
what I'm talking about.
I'm having a beer.
Are you? Good for you.
There you go. Yeah. A root beer. Oh, come on, Liz.
Now, what's in that? Is your Jameson over there?
Fireball.
Your Fireball, I mean? Yeah, I get the Jameson.
All right, well, if you want to get some Fireball personalized, you're going to go over to nameonanything.com, AD.
You damn right are, man. Now, listen, you know, guys, there's that biker gang that has moved down, you know, a little biker gang party house down at the end of the building in another suite.
They're from Pacoima, the Black Widows out of Pacoima.
I believe that is. Yeah, they're a handsome bunch of fellas. But I asked him one day, I said, hey, biker, where'd you get your kick-ass biker gang jacket patch? And he said, nameonanything.com, dude.
Oh.
And I said, oh, yeah, nameonanything.com. And he said, yeah, we get all of our completely fabulous biker gang wear, fully customized at nameonanything.com. Mm. And then we hugged, and it was weird. nameonanything.com. Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous biker gang stuff or anything.
Fabulous.
nameonanything.com.
Yes, and you will save 10% if you mention Shabby Road Record Show if you click on over to that website today. And love those guys. They'll print up anything.
Vroom, vroom.
That is the name of the business after
anything.
All.
nameonanything.com.
All right, well, this is episode 177. Cleared for launch here. It's a little bit of a different format. To be honest, AD and I have been traveling a lot on the road with Louis Prima Jr. We just got back from a long trip. We were over in London.
Rock stars.
And we were
a lot of miles.
New York City, Cleveland, which rocks. We're going back out again. Going to Chicago. We're going to Morristown, New Jersey. Asbury
New
Park.
York again. That's right. That's right. You know, we're going to do some songs there for all the hardworking folks at Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Bruce, how's it going with your new girlfriend? I heard Dad's not really into it.
Well, no, you know, he never really liked her. You know, she came from an upper-class family, never had the values that my dad taught me when I was young.
Yeah.
The hard work.
It's tough out there, Bruce.
It is tough, yeah.
Yeah.
For a blue-collar man like me.
Well, do you think you should take her to the outskirts of town?
Yo, I always do. You know, we get in my old Chevy, we drop that top, and we get rolling. And, you know, we find love there. We find our innocence again, you know, and...
Maybe I can bring her back down to earth. Maybe my father can find a way, you know, to find a way to really love her for who she is.
I thought you had a Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Cadillac. It's in the garage. Wow, Little Steven's garage right now, I believe it is.
Bruce Springsteen, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show, boss.
You're welcome.
And get back to Jersey.
Yeah, I got work to do.
So all of this, including the Springsteen, just means that we have been super busy, so hard for us to pack in the usual two-hour long show. And so this episode and the next episode will be shorter. AD and I have each brought one record, and we're going to dish it out as per usual.
I'm nodding over here. I just keep nodding in case you can't hear that.
I hear the cricks in the neck as you're nodding. So, yeah, for this episode and the next, we're cranking out a couple today, and that will give us the time to get back on the road and then come back for a full regular show on episode 179. Right. And we would love to see you when we're out on the road. So if you go to lewisprimajr.com, you can see where we're playing and stuff, or just follow us personally on Facebook and stuff, you know.
Or just stalk them.
Yeah,
or
stalk them. Yeah,
we've had a ball with a lot of listeners. Dan McBride, we saw Glenn Bennett over in London, which was an amazing day.
Yep.
So we've connected with a lot of people when we're out. So we would love to see you. So
it's always big fun. Always big fun.
So let's draw to see who's going to go first. Liz has the two playing cards as per usual, and...
Oh, by the way, I have a my mystery box, my selection.
Yes.
I have a fun-filled round of DNR.
Oh, fun. Okay. Does not remain.
Yes. So we have to decide whether the artist remains or does not remain.
Or has gone to the great gig in the sky.
Right. So it should be fun.
I have an awesome record from 77 that I just flippin' love, and I'd say more, but it'll give it away too soon to you, AD.
Mine's not from 77.
Yeah,
I kind of fucked up the thing.
Oh, well, it's still one. It's episode 177, so I brought one from 77.
Yeah, I know.
So
I kind of fucked that up.
Good job, AD.
I fucked it up for 78, too.
Okay. Good for you. Well, luckily, I got it together. All right.
Did you fall and hit your head?
No.
I saw you hit it on the light truss in the on Staten Island.
Yeah.
Okay, well, red and a black card. I guess I'll pick this time. Feels like it. You picked last time. I don't remember.
Yep, I did.
Let's go right hand. I usually go left, but let's go right hand.
Red.
Well, there goes AD.
Diamonds are us. All right, listen here now. What I got, this is a perfect song. You mentioned 107 degrees. It's daytime. We're usually here on like Monday nights, you know, in the middle of the dark and all that, you know. But it's daylight out. It's just weird. Even when you – I always keep the door locked here when I'm down here by myself.
I would.
The door locks here and all the time anyway. But knock, knock, knock. You know, Ryan, you were the first to arrive, and I open the door, and it's just blinding light, like vampire bright, you know. So it's like it's a little weird. So the mood is a little different in here, and it's fun. It's
kind of like
afternoon day drinking kind of thing. So I thought to myself, you know, we're tired. We just got back from on the road, and I just did a just horrifically, viciously difficult gig, you know, right after coming home. So, and then I got right back into teaching. So today is kind of like a day off. And I'm day drinking. I lit up a big fat hog knuckle.
Oh, no.
Right? As soon as I got home, I'm like, you know, and I got this buzz going. I've had a nice buzz going since I quit the gig. Feeling groovy right now.
Try to keep it together.
Right? So this song I picked is just the perfect song to totally kick back with and completely chill. Just absolutely the perfect day for this.
Okay.
So, I should think I'll show it to you.
And the record.
Yeah, and the reason we're here. I brought Dr. John the Night Tripper's fourth album.
Awesome.
The Sun, Moon, and Herbs.
Oh, Dr. John, come
now,
here.
Now, this is, you know how I love my Dr. John the Night Tripper.
There's booby on this album
Oh, there
cover.
Is. It's a great, dude, the album cover is fantastic.
That's
the
really
artwork
cool.
is amazing. Yeah, like a guy with a lion back portion and up to the torso, then a man's torso coming out of the lion's torso.
It's what do you call the half man, half horse?
Kind of a centaur.
Yeah.
But
half man, half horse. One of your films, by the way.
Yes, half man, all horse. Actually, it was
That's with Ida.
Ida.
Ida Dunya.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Her she has a twin sister, Ida Dunlap. So. Anyway, this is the good doctor's fourth studio.
I thought it was I'm a hog. Okay, anyway.
No.
Back to Dr. John.
Well, it's his fourth studio album. I got the first album, the Gree Gree album, which is absolutely fantastic. I love that voodoo-y stuff. I like the swampy, voodoo-y kind of groovy stuff, man.
That's a great record if you've never heard it, man. Gree Gree Gumbo.
Yeah, man. Dr. It's just amazing. It's just a great, great album.
It's not an album. It's a place.
Well, you know, it's funny. I quoted you on that in my notes here.
Oh, okay.
And this record is the fourth of those. Now, I've got his first record and this. There's two in between. And this is sort of the last of those records.
Okay, the Night Tripper series.
He was kind of the Night Tripper. He started, he kind of started making a bunch of pals. You know, he kind of got a cult following with the celebrity types. And I told you I saw him really at his first, like 69, I think it was, on the Barry Richards show on TV at home. So he became sort of a cool dude with all the hipsters, like, you know, Mick Jagger was a big fan. So all the celebrities were like, became his cult following, Eric Clapton.
From the Creams?
The Creams, Eric Clapton.
Oh.
And Mick and Eric actually play on this record. They have little guest appearances. I was going to have a quiz, what famous guitar player totally fucks up the slide on one of the songs, but I didn't want to play that song.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it would have been Eric Clapton?
It would have been Eric Clapton of the Creams.
He's not known as a slide player.
No. But you can tell it's just him clunking through it.
Probably high as fuck, too.
It's just awful. It's
smacked out.
And it's too loud in the mix. It's just like, we got Eric Clapton playing the guitar on my record. You know, and all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, beep, doop. Just imagine the crappy solos he plays, but with a slide.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Mm. But so it's a great album. Again, it's the last album of its type. He started then because he got more popular. They were all like, like Eric Clapton goes, Dr. John, I am the fantastic Eric Clapton. Listen, son, bitch, you got to get yourself a hit song and get some heroin. Yeah, you got to have heroin, but get a hit song. And that was Eric Clapton of the Creams.
Why did you make him from Alabama?
I don't know. But so Dr. John kind of then started going over to the more traditional New Orleans funky thing.
Right.
A couple hours.
Must have been a rap.
Yeah, a couple albums later was that one, a year and a half later. So this was all between 69, and this record came out in August of 71. The I Went in the Right Place, which was his biggest hit.
Sure.
Came out in early 73, I think January. 73 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But so this kind of stamped it. At this point in time, he kind of went away from that. But this album still has that great, funky, layback, it's a place, like you always say, kind of vibe. And so when I listened to it, man, I must listen to this record. All right, listen, it was two Hog Knuckles I rolled.
I
must have listened to the same record like four times.
Wow. Well, that, yeah.
Front to back.
And then back to front.
Yeah. And it was just got really good. So it became all this one ethereal, cool place. So I'm like, I don't even know what song to play. It was initially. Now, and again, this. Now, he started off in New Orleans. He's from New Orleans. He ended up in California doing some stuff in L.A. He worked with Professor Longhair when he was like 14 years old in clubs. So he was just always doing this. So he's a genuine deal. It's not a... It's not a kind of a fake persona.
Oh, he's the real deal. I know stories. I talked to AJ DeSherry, who played bass with us on the last leg of the tour, and I could share one of the stories. I don't know if you've got more Dr. John stories.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, Gree Gree.
Right.
Is a thing, right?
Okay, absolutely.
So, and so I guess Dr. John was, I had to go to court. He got busted for something, and he goes to court in New Orleans, and as he walks into the courtroom, the first thing he does is he reaches into his little bag of Gree Gree.
He has a Gree Gree bag with him, yeah.
It's like a Gree Gree dust.
Yeah.
And he goes over to the prosecution.
Goofer dust is what they call it.
Yeah, the prosecution attorney and just flicks it right, a big handful right in his face.
Kick ass.
And it was like this disorderly, like, what the? And the prosecution attorney was like rattled, obviously, like, what the hell is this? And of course, Dr. John gets the stiffest penalty. And what AJ said about Dr. John's behavior afterwards was Dr. John could not understand what the big deal was. I was just trying to win the case. And I figured I'd give him some Gree Gree in the face.
Right.
And that just to be sure.
Yeah.
And he's like the real deal.
No, he is a real deal. And that's what makes, that's why I love him. I like stuff like that. I like the voodoo-y music. I like the voodoo, films, yeah. You know, horror, anything dark and macabre and a little off the, you know what I mean?
It's like salt and glitter, and then you have a voodoo priest
right.
Kind of do a prayer over it.
Look what
now you got Grigri dust.
Look what he's wearing. Who's got the album?
You got it.
Look what he's wearing on there. I mean, what is that? That's like a muumuu and a
I don't know what that is.
A muumuu and a body diaper or something.
It's not right.
Right.
It's not right.
But so, I mean, I've always had that fascination for that kind of thing. So, you know, it's one of these records, too, again, because I listen to it over and over and over, and I'm going, God, what song to play? Because it is a place. And so, you know, I mean, and it's one of those things you can't just pick one song and expect it to take you there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Records like this are designed to have a beginning. You know, and then they climb, and then they middle, and they peak, and they end, and then you flip it over. So there's a...
Yeah, it's an immersive experience
is
what you want. You want the whole thing, you know.
So I was kind of worried about how it would translate, you know, one song. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, I got to pick one of them. Well, I didn't have to. I could have picked another record. But, I mean, you know, but, you know, I wanted to pick one of them, and I'm like, fuck, man. And it's so I decided I'm going to play a song called Zuzu Mamu.
All right.
And Zuzu is like a super hot chick or a priestess. Could be voodoo priestess, if you will.
Ah, who can get the gri-gri for
yeah,
you.
And Mamu is a town in the swamps a bit northwest of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Zuzu also the name of the little girl?
Zuzu's Petals, yes, mm-hmm. in It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. Zuzu, princess, beautiful princess.
Ah, okay.
Very good.
Liz,
that was on my
deep.
Notes. Wow. And that's my favorite movie of all time, by the way. It's a Wonderful Life.
Isn't that a Christmas thing?
Yeah.
What's the Christmas theme here?
Holy shit. Wow, yeah.
Christmas in July.
Ching, ching, ching. All of a sudden, Santa Claus bursts in.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Please don't let Santa Claus come.
So anyway, I mean, you know, Farmer Klabner was right. I mean, ultimately, when it's in the right place, you know, he made his hit and he became a star and started writing and producing for a lot of other artists. He didn't sell a million records on his own, but he was very embedded in the music scene, especially in New Orleans and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, and made a name for himself. I think he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I may be wrong.
Should
I'll have to check that.
Certainly the New Orleans Music Hall
right,
of Fame.
Right, yeah. Probably. Okay, so now, before we drop the needle on Zuzu Mamu, we got to play a round of DNR.
Oh, okay.
So, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, remains or does not remain? Ryan.
Is Dr. John still among us, or has he gone to the gri-gri in the sky?
The great.
I think he's still alive.
Liz.
I'm thinking he's probably gone.
All right. Well, I tell you what. We'll have the answer to that question, Dr. John, does he remain, right after we spin this great Sunday afternoon trip to the Bayou, voodoo style, from the 1971 album, came out on Atlantic Records, The Sun, Moon, and Herbs. Here's Dr. John, the Night Tripper, with Zuzu Mamu. Side two, track three, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. now, you too ashamed. Don't look at me if you're looking for somebody to blame. Just say, ooh, 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 Suzuma, ooh, 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 Suzuma. Tell me, whose little boo do you think you are? Be a star. Tell me why you're trying to act that way. You know I ain't the fool you thought I was yesterday. Tell me why you're your hair. You know it's missing, but you don't know where. If you feel somebody's trying to rip off your mind, if you feel in yourself that you're so inclined, go ahead and cop out. Down the street with a rag on head shower.
You just turned Shabby Road into an opium den.
Oh, I hope so. How great is that?
And anyone listening on the road or at work,
right? Yeah.
We apologize.
Lighting up doobs across. How great is that? That's just such a great trip. Dr. John. And that
I think
trip.
I need to go to church.
Oh, right. Right. And get some, shake some chicken bones at you.
New Orleans is such a great place, a great music, and you could feel the New Orleans in that so much. Like I was walking in the Garden District,
as
played. You know, it was just the what's the author of Vampire?
Anne Rice.
Yeah, it's like that sort of.
Shadowy things hanging from the trees and figures, you know, around corners. And
it's a very
crazy.
Mystical place. It's a great city.
The album, it's The Sun, the Moon, and Herbs by Dr. John, a night tripper, Zuzu Mamu. That was written by Mac Rabinac, who is, of course, Dr. John, and Charles Green. Produced by Mac Rabinac, Charles Green, written by Mac Rabinac. So, yeah, it's great stuff. So, let's get to it. I believe we have a quiz happening right now.
I say he's still with us. He remains.
Liz, you say he does not. Okay. The answer to our DNR quiz question.
Get a shot of dirty tequila ready.
Oh, wow. That's what we're doing?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you know what? Before we do that, though, you mentioned the girls, the backup singers who are just really creative.
You're really teasing the answer to this question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who are the ladies? Yeah.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
Shirley Goodman, Tammy Lynn, P.P. Arnold, and Joni Jones. Yeah, Mick Jagger singing on that.
P.P.
P.P. Arnold. That's what I... Never mind.
God.
Hello, Arnold. Beep, beep. So...
All right. Anyway, what do you got?
Born on November 21st, 1940 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Malcolm John Rabinac. 77 years old. He does remain and still well above ground. So congratulations for that, Dr. John the Night Tripper, for being alive still. You do remain... In our hearts as well.
Yes. Wow. Good job, right? Dr. John.
How about that?
That surprises me. Still got his.
Heroin habit.
Still doing his.
He's still doing heroin.
Yeah, he's doing his.
He's got his little thing of gree-gree that keeps him around.
You made a deal with the right guy.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, what you got?
Okay, so.
Ryan is being a little bitch again.
Hey, just because I won the DNR game.
No, not really.
Just in general.
Because you kind of forgot somebody.
Oh, no. Did I forget to introduce Sal again? Sorry, Sal. Wow. It's almost becoming
Kiss
habitual.
Kiss my ass, sugar.
I'm sorry.
You know.
Sal 5000 is with us. The bag of bolts, the rusty innards of...
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
Ooh.
Why are you turned on by that, AD?
Did I say that ooh out loud?
Yeah. I apologize, Sal.
All right.
I'll get you in 178 for sure. No, I won't. So I've been wanting to bring this band in after things that happened in May. And just as a quick sidebar, last night I played a gig, local gig, acoustic gig. My wife and kids came out, and I'm talking to this guy. We're talking Beatles, and, you know, and he was saying that his kids had no choice but to be Beatles fans, you know, and I'm like,
good fam.
And he's like, what did, you know, that my two kids are sitting there, you know, they're 13 and 10. And like, well, what does your dad make you listen to? And Zoe answers Kiss, of course.
Good.
And, I go, okay, Zoe. And who else does daddy like? And I thought she would say Bowie, you know, that would be an obvious answer, but
Jethro Tull.
But because I've been listening to so much Jethro Tull, kiss my ass, sugar. Because I've been listening to so much of this band, Zoe's answer, and without even burning a calorie, she looked at the man and said, Utopia.
Oh!
So I brought Utopia and the album Oops, Wrong Planet from 1977, which is what I'm celebrating over on this side of the room.
I need this one. I don't have
You
this
do
one.
Need this one. It's the last great one.
Yep. Oh, look at this.
Look, are you looking at the guys on the
Roger
back?
Roger Powell. They're all a wreck.
Yeah. This is a really good, solid record. What you see the band doing here, because the album before it, Raw, I played Hiroshima, if you recall, it's a little more proggy, a little more in tune with the first two Utopia albums. And this one sees them moving into more of a pop direction, like what they would become over the course of the next four or five records. They would just become a sort of arena rock slash pop band, which is what we saw, AD. The event in May would be on your birthday. We went to go see Todd Rundgren and Utopia.
Unbelievable. Thank you for that again. That was a magnificent show.
I was so thrilled. First of all, like, we went and Michelle and I had purchased the tickets a long time ago. It was like a Father's Day present to me. And then I wasn't sure what you're doing on your birthday. So we got your ticket the day of the show. So we were not sitting together initially, but we figured we'd just go to the venue and go to the ticket office and say, can you put us three together somewhere?
Yeah.
And turns out it worked in our favor because we were like in 14th row.
Great seats.
Yeah,
man.
We really got upgraded. And yeah, it was just a great show. And going into the show, I was like, you know, Todd Rundgren is a wild card.
You want it to be good. You know what they're, you got the records. You know what they can do. You've seen the videos in the past. You know who they are.
Yeah.
But are they going to still have it?
Because you've seen Todd Rundgren just solo and it wasn't very good. And
yeah, he was kind of going through the motions. It was the 80s and, you know, a lot of
Mikey,
cocaine fueled. And
our pal Mikey Bones saw him and he doesn't play any songs you know. When he does play one, he's totally rearranged it. And
gets indulgent, very self-indulgent.
Yeah, and it's always,
will do.
How was Todd Rundgren? It was okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want that.
No, you want to walk away from a show going,
Cinti in my head. Yeah, that's what you want.
So walking in, I figured I will be happy if it's a fair to middling show.
Right.
Because I could at least say I saw Todd Rundgren, who I'm a huge fan of. And the whole thing of him reforming Utopia and going out on the road made me discover these Utopia records because I never listened to them outside of the first one. And so now I went and bought them all before the show.
They're all worth getting. I need two more.
Do you need two more of them?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You know, not all of them. They're very spotty as you get into the 80s, obviously, in the production. But yeah, so I got into Utopia and I was really excited for the show. And then, of course, as the show started, they opened with the Utopia theme, which is the 15-minute or 20-minute long opus that kicks off the first Todd Rundgren Utopia album. And so they do this long instrumental piece, which is 7 or 8 minutes or something.
Brilliant,
and then it breaks
though.
Down
Brilliant.
To that arpeggiated synth line. And you see Todd Rundgren go back and take a sip of water. And I'm like, can he even sing anymore? Because I feel like I saw him recently and his voice was... But he walked up to the mic and Cinti, and it sounded like 1970 fucking five.
He bound up to the mic. He knew he was on it, man. And
yeah,
you can just tell by the way he walked up to the mic. It's like, oh, he's not fucking around, that old motherfucker.
And they proceeded to whoop ass hours.
Man. Yeah,
they did two, like the intermission thing, An Evening with Utopia, and they hit every album. Except for the Deface the Music, which is sort of a Beatles pastiche.
Kind of an offshoot
which
thing.
Which pissed
anyway.
Off the guys in Utopia a little bit about, you know, because they finally had their first top 20 hit in 1980. And they follow it up with a total throwaway Beatles pastiche album.
I'm the boss.
Yeah, I'm Todd Rundgren. That's how you got the record deal, dummies.
Yeah.
So this album, back to Oops, Wrong Planet. Which is a great title.
Yes.
September of 1977 on, of course, Bearsville Records, which Todd made a home with for his entire career nearly. And so it peaks at number 77 on the Billboard album charts in 1977. So how fitting. Mm-hmm. And there was a hit single on this record, although it was penned by Todd Rundgren. It was released as a single and it's Love is the Answer. But it really didn't do much on the charts as a Utopia song. It was covered by England Dan and John Ford Cooley.
Oh, yeah, and Oates.
Coley. And Oates and Cooley, whatever. Love is the answer.
That's right.
And, yeah, so that became a number one hit on the Adult Contempo charts in 79 mm-hmm. for England Dan.
It's the only song that the entire audience knew the words to.
Yeah. Noticed. Michelle knew it.
Everybody was singing along.
Michelle was kind of like, why'd they cover that England Dan song? You know? I'm like, I don't know.
They did.
And I had to look, Todd wrote it.
Yeah, I was surprised when they did One Toke Over the Line, Sweet Jesus by Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds as well. I didn't know that was in their catalog.
Todd wrote that.
Well, I don't have Adventures in Utopia, and I just figured it was on that album. The other one I don't have. So
I was really taken aback when they played It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
Oh, my God. You know what? Willie Wilcox was killing on
he
that.
He sang it. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know he sang.
I mean, he should have wore a shirt. during it, but whatever.
He should always, Willie Wilcox should always wear a shirt, by the way. Okay.
So I'm going to play a song called The Martyr. And what I wanted to do today with Utopia is not focus on Todd Rundgren so much, but focus on the other dudes in the band, namely Kazim Sultan, who, what a career this guy has had. And I really didn't realize it before, but I kind of researched him. It's like, we've talked about Todd Rundgren, blah, blah, blah. And so who is this guy? He started, he was sort of like a prodigy, I think, because he was working with Cherry Vanilla. Do you know
who
Cherry Vanilla is? Who was tied in with Bowie's people and all that. Kazim met Todd Rundgren through that group of people in New York City when Bowie was there, Cherry Vanilla was there. Even, I believe, like, you're going to get your Lou Reeds and your Patti Smiths and all that stuff in that scene as well. And Kazim was playing piano for Cherry Vanilla. And he's like, oh, I play bass too. And Todd's like, well, I'm looking for a bass player. Would you like to be in Utopia? And that's my Todd. Relaxed Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, he's, I'm not sure where he's from either.
He's Philly.
Yeah, he's Philly. Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah, okay. So he joins up. He's only 20 years old when he joins Utopia. He's not on the first two albums. No. He joins on Raw from 77. So this is like he's new to the band, and he's only 20 years old by then. And around the same time, of course, another thing that Todd's working on is Bat Out of Hell, producing that record for Don't Let Your Meatloaf.
Yep.
And he plays bass on that record, and he winds up later touring.
Kazim Sultan's on Bat Out of Hell?
All the Utopia guys are on it in some shape or form.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Same year of all this stuff. Todd was prolific. He did two Utopia records.
Todd just called him, hey, I got you a gig.
I got you a gig. Come on.
Are you working Saturday?
So they continue the Utopia thing all the way into the 80s. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the 2000s, Kazim played bass in Blue Oyster Cult for years.
What?
He was on the road like 6 months out of the year with BOC.
Yes, he just went up another notch in my old book there.
Yeah, so he's done a ton of session work and stuff and a great career. He's also done solo albums of his own. As well, and he sings this song called The Martyr. It's written by Kazim and Todd, and I love this song. It's sort of it's got that kind of spacey quality, and it kind of shows a different side of when you think of the Todd Rundgren thing. There's definitely a stamp of his production style on it, as you would imagine, but you can I wanted to pick this one just to kind of show that this period of Utopia, as they get into Oops, Wrong Planet, Adventures in Utopia, which followed it, they kind of still rocked. And I was so excited to watch them rock at the concert because they were fucking rocking.
The band was physical. They were very physical. They were leaping about. Todd was leaping about. And
yes, the Todd Rundgren spin kick.
Yes, how to end a song.
Yes.
Volume. That's every volume.
We may have to get a video of you replicating the Todd Rundgren spin kick.
That's a hard one.
It's a scissor kick, which is preceded by a spin. A
spin, scissor kick, and then band stops, and it's
the last note of the song. Yeah,
dead ending.
So, kick.
But it was cool though that the keyboard player on the keyboard player.
We got a different keyboard player on this one.
Right before the tour, they had to replace the keyboard player. For a guy, they put out a big thing on Facebook like, hey, we need a keyboard player.
Mm-hmm. What happened was that Roger Powell's retired.
Well, I thought he had gotten sick right before.
He's got like an arthritic kind of condition where he's like, I can't do this at night after night, guys. I'm sorry. I'm out. Besides, I work for Apple, so fuck off. And which is true. And so they're just going to use the guy that's been touring with Todd Rundgren's solo band for a few years. And he was like, dude, I'm in. But he's the one that got sick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was Roger who got sick.
Yeah, he got sick or something. And
Last minute.
And it was 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out from the first date of the tour. And Todd Rundgren's son found a YouTube guy. And
hey, Dad, you should check out this piano player. He's really neat.
Where'd you find this piano player?
On YouTube. Can I go to Bobby's?
What's a YouTube?
It's on a show. You'll never get it.
So they did find this guy, and how badass was he? You got to tell the story about the moment you saw on stage of that guy.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. Oh, he was playing, and there was a part in a song where, and it was still early in the tour. They hadn't done that many dates, so he's still new. And you've been on stages before, and you know, just you're focused in your music, and you're reading your charts, and you don't want to fuck up, and you're a little nervous, but then there's a moment where the band is playing, and you don't have to play.
Right.
And he stands back, and his keyboard's facing in towards, not toward the audience, but he's on, if you're looking at the stage, he's on the right side of the stage as you're looking at the stage, facing in toward the band. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of sideways to you.
Yeah.
And he's got his hand on the keyboard, and he turns, and he faces the audience. And it just, you could see it in his face. I caught the moment he did it, and the face was like, holy fuck, what am I doing here? Look at this.
I'm in Utopia.
Oh my God, I'm playing in Utopia. And he had that look, and he just grinned, the biggest smile, like his chest puffed out a little bit, and he was like, fuck, dude. It's just, and I could feel
it. Moment.
It was a really cool moment.
You saw
man.
Gratitude in his face,
yeah,
right?
It really like was.
A theater show, you know, there's 2,000-3,000 people there, and he's just going, fuck.
It was magnificent. It was just really a fucking phenomenal moment. I was so glad I actually saw it happen.
Yeah.
Right then I go, dude, did you see that? I mean, I'm you know, banging on your elbow. Dude, look at that guy. And it was amazing. And I know how I would feel in that exact moment. So it really captured, it mm-hmm. really got to my heart. It was really cool.
Yeah, God, what a great show that was.
Yeah, man.
So, all right, let's drop the needle on this one. We're going to hear The Martyr, sung by Chasm. And it's
Murder?
Sort of
it's about murder?
Murder most foul.
Yeah.
And lyrically, it kind of tells how shitty the rock and roll business is and how you're sort of... it's sort of like you are the martyr. You're sort of giving up a lot of your personal life to this bitch called rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And the music business.
So true. Mm. So true.
Yeah. So it's a cool tune and great guitar work. It's rocking. And so let's check it out.
I can see the ground deep.
Oh, the pageantry.
Oh, majestic rock.
I see Todd on that pyramid at the top during that guitar solo.
I want one of these built, and I want it on the stage. You're pointing you at the album cover.
You want the pyramid,
the
Todd?
The pyramid with steps on it. I'll be stepping on it. I'll be walking up it.
Oh, that doesn't sound safe, Todd. I don't think we should do that.
And I don't want the top of the pyramid on the top. I'll be the top. So you cut the top off, and I will be the top of the pyramid.
What are you going to do once you get up there?
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, please look up Utopia 1977 and watch Todd climb the pyramid, which is the most dangerous thing I've ever seen anyone do on a stage.
Amazing.
And I've been to the circus.
And things wobble. Yeah, right? Well, you've been in here.
I've been here. Yeah, this is a circus. Yeah.
It looks like a bunch of PVC pipes put together.
Yeah, and it's not sturdy. It's
ping
not,
pong paddles. Yeah. Like you slice put slices in the PVC pipe and just kind of wedge ping pong paddles in there.
Yeah, wedge them
in
there.
And he's walking up those ping pong paddles.
And it's just wobbling.
Yeah. It is wobbling. Like a mother, and it is not structurally sound.
And he's not strapped in, and it's 25 feet high.
Yeah,
that is ever-loving fucking mind.
I'm doing my goddamn guitar solo up top.
That's right.
God, the people who invested the money are going, Todd Rundgren, please get down. You've got records of mine to sell.
Come on, now you're under contract. I can't have you break your collarbone.
Can you imagine the drummer though? What if he fell backwards?
He'd fall on
awesome.
Willie Wilcox.
That was so cool.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our short show here because AD and I are hitting the road this summer. And please check us out on the road. And that'd be louisprimajr.com, Louis Prima Jr. And yeah, we'd love to see you, right?
Yeah, we would.
And let's thank Liz Morgan for running the controls all afternoon, day drinking with us.
Thank you, Liz Morgan.
And she has brought with her the one that shall not be introduced at the top of the show, Sal 5000. Yeah. I see she's coming around. She's happier.
She's had a few mimosas this afternoon.
All right. Excellent.
Ooh, good for her.
I like this Sunday afternoon recording.
It's kind of cool.
We need to make it the new thing.
Different vibe. Different vibe. Yeah. I'm scared of the day, usually, but.
Yeah. Well, AD, the mystery boxes are indeed empty.
They are.
So I'm going to exit the demilitarized zone of Shabby to brave the nonsense of Sunny Slope. Under the tyrannical reign of Kim's John Biff. Pretty sure I could sneak past his boner towards the Freedom Bridge before I get caught. But before I go, I'll bid a Fu Manchu to A.D. Adams.
Oh, that's it for our adorable little mini-me of a show today. I'm sure it may have seemed small, but I assure you, it's a grower. So before we lock up the clowns in this circus berserkus, I'd like to say thank you to all our loyal listeners for continuing to spread the love and the news about, well, whatever the fuck we're doing down here. And now it's time once again to say good day to my partner, Ryan McKay, and wish you a blonde fucking Fu Manchu. Good night, everybody. Yeah.
Circus berserkus? That's the name of the episode.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code SHABBY at checkout and save 10% on your order. Nameonanything.com.